Hey, Mark, I was listening to Paramore the other day, and it really made me think about the amygdala and the limbic system.
You just made those words up, didn't you?
What, Paramore?
We're the Nevermind the Music podcast, where one musician
and one psychologist
talk songwriting and the mind, one song at a time.
We'll hear everything from Green Day and Outkast
to Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa.
And we mostly try to stay on topic.
Except for when we don't want to.
Nevermind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to the Ted Lasso Podcast. We're the Lorehounds, your guides to purchasing the best avocados. I'm John.
And I'm David, and this is our coverage of the Apple TV Plus original series, Ted Lasso.
In this podcast, we'll be discussing our top three moments from the episode before having a light discussion of Season 3, Episode 3, titled 4-5-1. That's a lot of numbers there. Be sure to stick around to the end of the podcast for programming notes about our podcasting schedule for the rest of March.
Quick housekeeping, for early access to ad-free episodes and exclusive content, visit patreon.com/thelorehounds.
Send us feedback at thelorehounds.com/contact or lorehounds@thelorehounds.com, or head to our Discord server linked in the show notes.
And if you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
All right, David. Let's do a quick reminder about how we're covering this season of Ted Lasso.
Yes. So we're keeping it light. We're keeping it fast. I've got a new feature for us this week, our laugh out loud moment. So after you do a synopsis, we'll each do one of the comedy bits that made us laugh out loud the loudest, like the one that really just made you, you know, fall out of your chair. And then we will cover our top three moments each. And then we've got a quick little bit of feedback, and that will be that. Quick inside information. If you haven't heard the interview, Brett Goldstein was on NPR's Fresh Air. We'll put a link in the show notes below. And Brett Goldstein's the actor who plays Roy Kent. He's one of the writers. And one of the cool stories that he tells is about how he went from being a writer to an actor, as well as talking about some of the psychology behind the show and some of the things that they're dealing with. But it's a really lovely interview. So definitely check that out if you want some more Brett Goldstein in your life.
Very cool.
All right, John, you want to run us down on the synopsis for the episode?
Sure. Colin goes about his morning routine with a romantic partner. Richmond anxiously awaits Zava, who shows up 2 hours late and misses his welcome party. Once in Richmond, he charms everyone but Jamie Tart, who is insecure about his power ranking on the team. Taking charge of the team's strategy and putting himself front and center, Zava sends everyone behind him on the field and causes Colin to be put on the back burner. Rebecca sees a psychic who first appears to be a fraud, but later may have earned Rebecca's trust. Keely has Shandy shadow her at work, where she promotes Zava's arrival. Ted calls Michelle, and her phone is answered by their former couple's therapist, who is now dating her. Ted almost has a panic attack at the game against the Wolves, but Zava's prowess snaps him out of it. Richmond then goes on a winning streak, while Ted sinks into depression over Michelle. Nate and Rupert are not happy about Richmond. Sam invites the team to his restaurant, where Sassy Smurf tries to woo Ted, and Roy offers to train Jamie to be better than Zava. Rebecca gets a green matchbook. On his way home, Trent sees Colin kissing his partner.
All right, it was a packed episode. There was just so much in this. It's so hard to like narrow it down to like top three or, you know, single moments, because I watched it three times.
Thrice.
Once on the first outing, then once to do my notes. And then my spouse and I watched it the other night, and I was laughing just as hard on the third watch as I was watching on the first one. So I'm really loving this show. I'm just having so much fun, especially after The Last of Us. It's nice to have this lovely, light, fun, really goofy show. So
yeah, we needed a palate cleanser.
Yeah, for sure. John, what was your biggest laugh out loud moment from the episode?
My biggest laugh out loud was, fuck yeah, Princess Diaries.
That was a good one. Deep cut.
Yeah, I mean, you know what the thing is? When I was I think 8 years old, that movie came out, and my mom wanted to go see it, but my mom didn't have any daughters, and so took me instead because I was the youngest child.
Right.
And I was mortified because I was 8 years old, and the culture had taught me that boys of 8 years old don't go to princess movies.
Right.
But I secretly liked it very much. And later, in adulthood, when I grew out of that toxic masculinity a little bit, I was able to admit that truly a fantastic movie with, you know, Julie Andrews, as we were talking about. And what's her name? Anne Hathaway. Anne Hathaway, early in her career. Lovely.
Right.
Anyway, very cool. Very funny. What was your favorite moment of the laugh out loud variety?
Actually, in the same scene where they're all sitting in the office at the beginning there, when Ted says, Jamie's a lot like my mom's Precious Moments figurine collection. And Trent says, I have no idea what that means. And Roy said, he's a fragile little bitch. I don't know. I caught me completely off guard. And I just burst out laughing. And all three times I saw it, I had the same reaction. I don't know what it is. I think it was just Roy's delivery. He knew exactly what Ted was meaning, even though the cultural divide was there. And then his punchy delivery of it just had me in stitches.
Oh, he's always great. I mean, anytime Roy Kent delivers a sassy line, everybody's happy.
Yeah, very much so. All right, well, let's get into our top three moments. As we said, this was a tough episode because there was just so much going on, and there's so much that we have to leave to the side. And something that I want to, just offer to our listeners is, because there's so much going on, we can't cover it all, write in and let us know what your, what are some of the moments that really impacted you during the episode, that made you laugh, stuff that you're tracking. Help us sort of report the show while we're doing these this sort of cut down version of our podcast.
And then we'll end up covering it anyway.
Yes, exactly. All right. So my number one moment is Colin. The whole thing around being gay on a male sports team. And the difficulty, I don't have a relatable experience. So I'm going off of what I've learned from other people and just trying to have a little empathy. And I can't imagine how awkward of a situation that must be for a character. And Colin's a character that we didn't really get to know in season one and two. I mean, he was around and he was doing stuff, but this is like a pretty significant storyline. And then the way that they opened the whole episode with him and his partner, like that's a big deal. I loved him trying to be inconspicuous, sneaking out of his partner's apartment. And then he's getting into this like bright orange Lamborghini and he crashes into the rubbish bins. Like it was just...
Yeah, the false start was great.
It was so good. And he's got that line like, I'm a strong and capable man, right? So we're like being serious and soulful. And then he crashes his car and it's like, oh, I love this show because they give you these deep moments and then they give you some slapstick humor, which really, you get the moment, you still get the import of the moment, but then you're balanced by having some lightness and some, humor around the situation. So it was really great. Something I noticed that when they were talking about how they were going to restructure the formation, Roy calls Colin a chameleon, which is really interesting because he has to be a chameleon to fit in socially. And then we see that when Michael comes to the restaurant later at the end of the episode, and he's got to, introduce him as his wingman, which is simultaneously sad, right? Because obviously there's a lot of feelings between these two. Like, I think Colin's like, he's in love, right? I don't know that they're going to get married, but he really has they have a lot of feelings for each other. And how sucky that must be to have to introduce this person that you're really deeply romantically involved with as like, no, he's just my mate. And we're just pals. That's just a shitty situation to be in. So I really got a lot of empathy for that. But then there's like, again, then they balance it where they're all talking about being gay for Zava. And then Colin says, all right, you know, you convinced me to have sex with Zava. And it was just like, well, wait a minute. There's like this whole tension going back and forth. And they're just playing it off so well and so lovely that at the same time, it's a very serious and intense issue, but dealing with it in such a light hand and such a fun and frivolous way. I think it's a cool storyline, and I'm really looking forward to seeing where they go with this. And I certainly hope Trent is at least an ally, if not also on side with Colin in his orientation.
Yeah, so I think they've actually been hinting towards this for a while, because if you recall, when Keely first brings Banter to their attention, she's describing swiping on people, and he goes, oh, like Grindr, right in front of the whole team.
Oh, I miss it. That's a good callback. Good call.
Yeah, so they've been hinting at this for a while. My wife and I talked about it when we watched season two. So I think that when he does finally come out, and I hope that it's on his own terms, the whole team will be like, oh, yeah, we know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he's not hiding it very well. And nor should he have to. It's just, you know, it's just funny that they've been hinting at this for a long time.
One of the things that they're doing in this season two with Isaac, you know, the team captain, or he was the team captain in what, two, I think? One or two? I can't remember now. There's a moment in the restaurant where, I think it's in the restaurant where, it's in the pre-game prep. And Colin makes a joke about like, oh, I'm a strong and capable man. And Isaac just leans over to him and goes, you're all right, mate. You're good. And it was just so tender. And like, there's such camaraderie among this team that when whatever happens with Colin, I'm really looking forward to seeing a supportive environment for that to all happen in. And I think it's going to be a really interesting storyline.
Agreed. I really can't wait to see where this goes. I hope that they don't have Trent just out him, because I think that'd be very predictable and not really in line with this show. I mean, you look at how Trent handled Ted's secret, and sure, he wrote it, but he's also not a journalist anymore, right? He did that because he was a journalist.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he also did something that was against journalist rules, but he felt was ethical in his view.
Right.
And so I don't think he would do the same thing with Colin.
And here's hoping, you know, like I said, either, you know, at minimum, I'm hoping he's an ally. At maximum, you know, maybe he's also gay and, you know, he's going to keep that secret, or he's going to be a supportive character as Colin is working through it. We'll see.
Well, let's also just note that Trent Crim has the coolest walking soundtrack. That's two episodes in a row now.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on. I gotta get this. Whoever's scoring his life,
yes,
I want them to score my life.
And he's got a cool walk, and he wears cool like punk rock t-shirts. He was wearing a T-Rex t-shirt at the beginning of the episode. Yeah, he's a very suave dude.
He is. And the hair. Oh,
yes,
boy.
That is beautiful.
All right.
Hair.
That's enough Trent love.
All right, John, what's your number one?
My number one was Jamie's grammar crusade.
So good.
Because he just took everyone by surprise. I mean, when he says, by the way, I wasn't being ironic, I was being hypocritical.
Yes.
Beard is just shocked. He doesn't know what to do, that Jamie Absolutely. Just corrected him on something.
He completely floored Beard. It was perfect.
I know. Yeah, and everybody goes, was that correct?
Yeah.
They're just shocked. And then you have later on pre-Madonna with Roy, and he goes, what the fuck is a pre-Madonna? I can't do his accent, but it's very funny to me all the time. Oh, you know, because female singers didn't have to try so hard. And I love how he goes,
oh my gosh,
fucking Stevie Nicks.
It was so good. Where are they taking Jamie? Because he's becoming more sensitive. He's speaking his mind without being a jerk about it. He's got his motivation. He's like, yeah, I want to beat him, but he's not being an asshole about it, right? And he's like, Roy's like, okay, I'll train you. And I think we're going to talk about that later. So yeah, it's a really interesting arc for Jamie, because he's not at all who he was in the first season.
Yeah, no, totally. And you're right. He's more depressed about it than he is dickish about it.
Right. Yeah. And then the way that he came in to talk to Ted was like, hey, can I speak my mind? You know, can I speak to you a minute for a minute? And, you know, he was just very straight and matter of fact about it.
Yeah.
Right.
He and he's even honest about himself, right? He's, mm-hmm. He knows he's being hypocritical. He was given a chance to come back when nobody wanted him there.
Hypocritical versus ironic. It was so good.
Right. So what was your number two, David?
Sam's Restaurant. Just the whole vibe. Like, it seemed like a fun, cool vibe place to hang out. The food seems great. The service seems nice. It was just seemed like a place I would love to go to. I also thought it was just a great bonding opportunity for the team, for everyone just to be relaxed and have a little fun without doing crazy, you know, going to the clubs and throwing money around and, you know, shooting champagne all over the place. It was just like, no, this is, we're getting together as this tight group, and we're spending some time together and eating some of the best moi moi that, you know, we've ever had. And I love that, you know, Sam has this whole second storyline and that there's something really interesting and creative and soulful going on in his life. And the way that they filmed the whole thing, on my third watch, one of the things I was really noticing was how they shot the interactions. They did a lot of racking focus where like somebody's in the background, out of focus, and somebody's in the foreground in focus, and then they switch that. They did a lot of that. They did a lot of, like, if you look around the restaurant, you can see different characters sitting with other characters. It was just really lovely. And I just felt like that was a great place that I would love to go to. And then, of course, are we setting up the chef and Sam in some sort of love triangle with Rebecca?
Oh, 100%.
So we'll see what's going to happen there.
Yeah. And, you know, she's much more age appropriate. So,
yes,
kind of for that. I think that, you know, I sympathize with Rebecca wanting to find love. I do think, and, you know, not that Rupert's any less gross. He's significantly more gross about what he's doing. But I do think that it's a little icky, especially because he's her employee.
Right. Yeah.
That's
the
biggest part. It's not even the AIDS thing, is the employer.
The power. Yes, exactly. The power dynamic. And then we dealt with a lot of that last season, I think.
Right. We did. Although it kind of went nowhere, right? So I think that there's still a fallout to be had from that.
Sure.
Especially now with Trent Crim with his eyes on everybody.
Yeah, that's right. Oh no, I've got diarrhea. What's your number two? There's so many jokes in this episode. I'm trying to smuggle in as many as I can remember. What's your number two?
My number two is Zava being super wholesome to everyone all of a sudden.
Yeah, because what's
we
up
set
with
him
that?
Up.
Yeah.
We set him up as this asshole the last episode. And all of a sudden, he's just super wholesome. And he's like kind to everybody. He's trying to lift them up. He's like, yo, you know, there's no me. It's just we.
the weenus.
Yeah. Yeah, the weenus. it's very interesting, right? Because even when he shows up late, he's like very wholesome about it. Mm-hmm. And he mold me, he says. Right. He doesn't go like, oh, you're inexperienced. Think about how Roy greeted Ted. He goes, I didn't think my career would end by being coached by Ronald fucking McDonald.
Right. It's true.
And
he's an empty vessel filled with gold.
Yeah, you just see the difference. And I don't know if this is, I guess it's not a good act, right? Because he's been doing this for weeks or months now. We don't even know how much time passed in that montage.
Right.
And he still seems to be beloved by the team and by the fans.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on here.
Everybody loves to talk about Zava.
Yeah.
The tattoo on his back. That was so good.
And Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yes, too. Absolutely. And there's some other deeper cut Jesus Christ Superstar thing that happened in episode one. It was in the New York Times is doing a episode by episode review. And my spouse mentioned something to me about it. And there's some connection production to that. And I don't have the connection at the top of my head. Maybe somebody can write in. But yeah, it was a perfect song for that, for the tattoo. The one thing I'm noticing, though, while everyone else is completely enamored by him, Rebecca is not. She's immune to his shtick.
Sure, but she is also delighted by the fact that he's winning.
Well, yeah, of course.
And Jamie still is not. Even though they're winning, he's not delighted. I mean, I love the lens work. I don't know what they did exactly, but they did some kind of weird perspective on his face looking up at Zava's tattoo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
And that looks super cool, especially with his douchey hair going on the sides. That was super good.
That's great. Do you think that there's a possibility that Shandy and Zava might hook up?
Maybe. Zava seems like a free love kind of guy.
Right. I love your energy. It's so off-putting. Or whatever. I forget what he said, but that was so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Shandy's definitely getting fired, by the way. I'm standing by that whole thing. I think that she is a wreck.
I love the running gag whenever Keeley mentions that they're friends. Everybody's like, oh, that explains it.
Right.
It's so good.
Oh, Higgins with the long O.
Yes. Oh. Do you know, are you familiar with the drink Shandy, what a Shandy is?
I am not.
It's a mixed beer drink, very very normal in Europe and in the UK. And you can get shandies here, various versions of them. Originally, I think it was a ginger beer mixed with regular beer. But now you can, you know, you can get a summer shandy where it's got lemonade, or a lot of, you know, a lot of people do like a 7-Up mix in their beer. And it can be in the summer, it can be very refreshing. So you get that nice beer taste without the heaviness of like drinking a whole beer. So I think it's a perfect name for Shandy. Yeah.
Cool. That sounds good. Maybe I'll try one in the summer.
Oh, just get a can of beer, put it in, fill it up like 2/3 and then just fill in 1/3 of whatever your mix is. And 7-Up, you can't go wrong. Like a 7-Up or a Sprite, that's always a good place to start. Or another ginger beer.
Well, sounds good. So David, what's your number 3?
Ted and his relationship with Michelle and their therapist and the near panic attack and the whole thing. The hard part is that Jake actually seems like a really nice guy, and it seems like Michelle is happy. So it's really tough to, you know, sympathize with Ted a little bit here. It's like, yeah, it hurts. It stings a little, but you know, you got to move on, man. And I don't think you need to worry, Ted, that your son's going to not see you as his father. You're his father forever. That's it. You know, be a bigger man and allow another man into your son's life while you're not there. It's okay. But yeah, he's having a tough time. Like scraping social media for news about your ex's new partner, that's a bad look. It's not a good thing. Not healthy at all.
It's not great.
Yeah.
You know, though, at the same time, mm-hmm. I think if it was just a random person, sure. Because when she said she was on a date,
yeah,
then he didn't like panic or anything.
Right.
But when he found out that this was someone who he revealed his deepest fears to,
mm-hmm.
that he relied on to help fix his marriage, and now has
vulnerable
invaded.
It's a kind of vulnerability. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's... I think it's really messed up. I think, honestly, that guy should be reported to some licensing board. But,
what's the statute of limitations there? Like, he's not an active patient. It's been a long time. You know,
it's her, too. It's not just him. It's both of them. It was a couples therapist.
Yeah, yeah.
She was his patient.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's messed up, too. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know the rules. If anyone out there is a licensed therapist and wants to let us know what the rules are, at least in your state, I know it varies.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
Yeah, what's the general ethics around it? Yeah, like, is
Kansas.
There time delay?
We can look at Kansas. You know about Kansas, anybody?
That's right, exactly. So,
but still, even if it's not,
it's
illegal,
icky. Yeah.
It's really icky, right?
And I just think that Ted needs to get over it. And I really love the fact that Zava's goal got him over it real quick, right? He didn't actually have a panic attack, so.
Yeah. He's like, but everything's going right now.
Well, before I kick it over to you for your number 3, I just want to make a public service announcement for everyone. Do not play Tetris on the toilet because you're going to get numb legs. Forget about forgetting your phone, right? Like, the numb leg thing is bad, especially when your pants are down and you just try to stand up. I've been there. It's not a good scene.
I'm more of a Vampire Survivors on the toilet guy, which is on your mobile phone, by the way. You can just play it on there. You don't even need a console or anything.
Well, whatever your game of choice is, or scrolling of, you know, doom scrolling is, don't do it for very long. All right, John, what's your number 3?
My number 3 is Jamie's insecurity around not being the best.
Yeah.
And his vulnerability with Roy, which is a huge turnaround from previous seasons, other than his hug with Roy last season.
Last episode, or a couple episodes ago.
Oh, no, I mean when Jamie's dad
Oh, right. Yeah.
And Roy hugged Jamie afterward.
That was intense. I gotta go back and rewatch that stuff with Jamie, maybe.
That was a good episode, and that was a good moment. But since then, we haven't really seen any vulnerability with Roy.
Right. Just sadness. But right. It'll be really interesting to see. I love the turn that they've given these two characters, that they're now sort of allies in the face of Zava. Not that they're opposed to Zava per se, but that they can find common cause to and for Jamie to improve himself. I think that's really cool.
Well, I think that what Roy is saying is don't hate this guy for being better than you. Use him as inspiration to be better.
Exactly.
Right? And I think that that's way healthier than going and being jealous. Like, being jealous of Zava is not going to get Jamie anywhere.
No.
Being inspired by Zava and working hard to surpass Zava is what will get him somewhere. Maybe not past him, but certainly closer to him.
Right. You know, maybe he won't be confused for the Kit Man anymore.
Well, I think it was just that he was sitting down and not... he was the only one out of place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of his own worst enemy. Right? I think he has been shutting himself out more than Zava's been shutting him out.
Yeah, and as Roy says to him, you know, having a frown on your face during a winning streak is not a good look.
Right, absolutely.
But, you know, that he's no longer a self-absorbed glory hunter who only cares about himself. Like, that's a really great, like we were saying before, I really like where they're taking Jamie. And I would love to see Jamie... like maybe score a goal on Zava in some way or something, you know, like actually eclipse him, outclass him in one of the games.
Teach him something.
That's right. Yeah.
Who knows?
All right. There's so much that we were not able to cover. I've just got to smuggle one more thing in. The call out to Marvelous Miss Maisel was a great little...
Maisel.
I know I do that. That's one of my things.
Oh, boy.
Maisel.
What was the call out to Marvelous Miss Maisel?
When Coach comes in, when Ted comes in and makes the joke about, what was it? About the word Sam talks about the Catskills.
Okay.
He goes, no. You know, he was there. He throws out the Marvelous Miss Maisel reference, and the whole team goes, oh, yeah, that's a really good show. Oh, you know. And they've done that a couple of times over the seasons. They'll call out another show that they like. And you can really see the writers having a lot of fun with the script. So
yeah.
I like that.
And at least it wasn't just another Apple show, you know, vertical integration kind of thing.
Right, exactly.
It was actually a call out to an Amazon show. So that's pretty wholesome.
It's classy. I like it. One thing I wish we could have had time to talk about, but we can't talk about Sassy. Classy Sassy. So fingers crossed she's going to be back.
Yep.
All right, let's jump into some feedback really quick. There's been some general chatter on our Discord channel, so check out the link in the show notes below and hop over if you've got some things you want to share. Some people there are very concerned about the psychic. Lorehound Dumbledore pointed out that Rebecca says earlier on during the Zava welcome party, I'm late. And so she took that as like, oh, you know, the whole family, you know, thing with the psychic. And then Davy Mack is hoping that the whole psychic thing is like some sort of bait and switch plot. We'll see. But yeah, people are really nervous about what's going on with Rebecca's mother and the psychic.
Right.
We've got Loremaster Mike G by email. He says, hey there, I've been listening to your show since Second Age. That really helped me get the most out of Rings of Power. Well, thank you. I'm glad we were able to be of service.
Absolutely.
I enjoy your lore-based approach, and kudos for avoiding any of the pyroclastic meltdowns. Oh, boy. We're not talking about any volcanism here.
I don't remember this at all. I do, but I'm
moving on. He says, since then, you've helped me discover new shows, Wheel of Time, White Lotus, Last of Us. Wow, we're actually having a positive impact on people's lives, John.
What a delight.
And so they say, thank you. You're welcome, Mike G. He said, that being said, here's a thought. When I had listened to your last Ted Lasso episode, I feel like the theme of season 3 so far and Ged's journey in the first book of A Wizard of Earthsea, which we're doing with Marilyn R. Pukila, our favorite Tolkien scholar. And if you haven't checked that out, definitely go and do that over there. But he says the theme of season 3 of Ted Lasso and Ged's journey in A Wizard of Earthsea are very similar. Accept and acknowledge your whole self, i.e. name yourself. And I think that was a really clever crossover between those two properties. Thoughts?
Yeah, totally. Also, Wheel of Time has that too, but you might not be there yet on your journey.
Yes.
I think that is the main point of a lot of the character development in Wheel of Time as well. And I've talked about on the Wizard of Earthsea podcast how that's probably because he was inspired by Earthsea.
Exactly.
And similar sources. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I love that. I love that it's similar to, like, Ted's journey is similar to Ged's journey. And even you look at Rebecca, you know, being true to herself, being the tough person last episode to get Zava. And, you know, I mean, I think that is the theme of this season. And I think that it's a powerful theme. And I think that it is very good when it's well done.
Yeah, when she was able to set aside what Rupert had sort of laid out on her and she was able to discover her own power, she could make things happen, and she made Zava happen. So yeah, knowing yourself, naming yourself, and owning that is really important. And I think that's what Ted needs to do to get over Michelle. Regardless of the creepiness of the therapist, you know, and that sort of ethical conundrum, just that fact that she's with another guy, you know, I think he was already getting moving on, and then this is sort of given him a half step back. So I think he just needs to keep going on that direction.
Yeah. Yeah. The phone number was a hint that he was, I mean, it was explicit, you know, he couldn't remember the phone number.
Right. Yeah.
He was moving on a little bit, and I hope that he can get back to that spot and even beyond.
Well, thanks Mike G for being a lore master and writing in from Switzerland. We are global, John. All right. Dan on our Discord had something interesting to say. He said, I'm getting a lot of Lester vibes from this season of Ted Lasso. Are the writers laying the groundwork for them to win the league this year? He goes on, both teams have been recently promoted. Richmond are in their first season since being promoted to the Premier League, and Lester won the title in their second season. Both teams were comprised of mostly journeyman players from lower leagues. Lester had a happy-go-lucky coach that the media loved but thought would be the first coast coach sacked in the Premier League. Ranieri, I think is his name, famously promised his team pizza if they could keep a clean sheet. Sounds like a Ted Lasso bit that he might employ. Roy Kent, just last episode, said that Richmond should play a 4-4-2, an unfashionable formation Leicester perfected and won the league with. Both teams' best players are named Jamie, Tart versus Vardy. They each had a checkered past and rubbed their teammates the wrong way until they became more professional and became one of the leaders of the team. A bonus bit, Arlo White, the announcer from Ted Lasso, is a Leicester fan and did the play-by-play for NBC Sports covering the Premier League season that Leicester won the title, famously calling the game Leicester officially won the league, Tottenham melting down at Chelsea. All right, so interesting historical notes from Dan there about the real-world parallels between Leicester and Richmond.
First of all, David, I got to say, congratulations on being able to decipher the nonsensical spellings of England.
I lived there for a while, so I have a slight inoculation. I can't pronounce Galadriel, but I can pronounce Leicester.
Well, yeah. All right. That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, it would be very cool to see this come to fruition. I mean, the whole thing of Ted Lasso just being a joke from a bit on a commercial? Is that what happened? And it blew
Sports
up to this
Center?
Whole thing where it's actually deep. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they're, I mean, we know that they're pulling from Zava, from some real football player. And I think that they want to have this show speak truth to fans of the game. So I think that that's a lot of fun. So I'll be keeping an eye on this and seeing if your predictions come true.
All right. Well, that wraps it up for this episode. Join us next week for episode 4. John, should we do our quick shout out to our Patreon supporters?
Sure. Special thanks to our Lore Master patrons. These are our $10 tier. We love them dearly. They help us keep the gears turning, as do all our patrons. So thank you, all of you. But especially Samartian, Cyrus, Mark H., Michael G., Michelle E., David W., Brian P., Nick W., SC, Peter OH, Bettina W., Adam S., Nancy M., Lavinia T., Duve 71, Brian 8063, and our newest lore masters, Frederick H. and Sarah L. Thank you very much to all of you.
Yeah, it means a lot to us to have your support, and it actually helps us actually get the podcast produced. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. David, do you want to tell everybody about our programming notes?
Ooh, we're coming to the end of March. It was a crazy March, and I can't believe that we made it through. Tomorrow, I think we're having Lorehounds Play, the first episode of that, of you and Brandon the Bard, covering
yeah,
The Last of Us, Part 1. I think you guys broke that up into two parts.
We did. So it's Part 1A, I guess.
Okay. And then
I still haven't decided how I'm labeling that on the feed.
and then the second part will come out at the end of April. We've been covering Mandalorian Season 3 every week. We just did Chapter 5. That is out now. Sometime next week, fingers crossed, we will have a review of the season wrap-up of Bad Batch Season 2, and then a quick discussion of Visions Volume 1, because Visions Volume 2 is going to be out next month, or actually in May. And for our patrons, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have our next episode of Second Breakfast out. We're going to be talking about eggs and raising Arizona. So keep your eye out on our feed for that. Otherwise, we've got a lot of stuff, great stuff coming up in April. You can head over to our Patreon, and there's a public post there that has our schedule for April. And I will also be posting that in our Discord later today.
Very cool. Well, David, it's been a pleasure talking about Ted Lasso with you, and we will see everybody next week. The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.